Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. We're never going to keep your spirit, your love, your gentleness in our hearts forever and ever and ever. And we get to our forevers and evers and evers, step by step, day by day, moment by moment. Amen. What happened yesterday? We can't carry it into today if it's going to pull us down, if it's going to be something that's going to hinder us. We should learn from our mistakes, even the things that are in joyous times for us. We need to carry them and learn from those things. How was I prosperous in this area? Can I continue that today? And we do that through prayer and seeking God's face and listening to him as he speaks to us, as the Holy Spirit that he has left with us directs us. Amen? Well, today, this is your host, Minister Von Dumas. And again, I'm coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. So let's go ahead and start with our scripture. We'll get into our prayer. And then we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in you, just becoming the best person that God has designed you to be. Amen? Amen, amen. All right, so let's go ahead and start our scripture, please.
Today I'm going to read Luke 17, 1 through 10. And it says, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to his mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait for me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.
Amen. Amen. We're still touching on that. You see how it's just all tying together on our faith, sin, faith, and our duty. Sister Tatiana, thank you. It's been a while. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Well, again, we thank you for that scripture, and may God bless you and just bless his word as you have read it, and then all the ones who choose to do his word. So bless the readers and the doers of his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we continue, we just start in our prayer, and we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity just to come before you today and for all the sisters and brothers around the world. I thank you for your great creation. I thank you, dear Father, in the midst of all the turmoils and people that are upset about the smallest and the least of things, dear Father, that you're still here and you just standing patiently in line and you have the antidote for all of the depression that is going on around the universe right now. You have the antidote for all of the sorrow, dear Father. I thank you for having it in the power of your hand and is extended to each and every one of us, dear Father, to be relieved of that stress, to be relieved of the mother against daughter and the father against son, and families are torn apart, and the answers is right here in your word. And I thank you for leaving us with your Holy Ghost, dear Father, to direct us in your pathway of righteousness. And I also want to thank you for going ahead of us, dear Father, and preparing a place for us that, we don't always have to fight in this world, dear Father. We don't always have to be in war. We don't always have to stand against, fighting against flesh and blood and powers and principalities, but we have an eternity that we can accept and come and be with you. And I thank you for all of the ones who have said thank you today, and I thank you for all of the ones who would not take out the time to thank you today. I intercede on behalf of all the sick and the shut-in, dear Father. I intercede, dear Father, on all the ones that are confused, that are in the midst of some cult that is teaching against your word or teaching against your way. And I intercede for all of those, dear Father, who just don't think that they need you, dear Father, don't even have any idea of the power that they're looking for that is right here before you. So I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for all preachers and leaders and teachers that are really not getting thrown over to the wayside, dear Father, but are really still standing firm and fighting for the truth of your word, not creating their own word, dear Father, from the pulpit, but leaning and depending on your word. We thank you, Jesus, for your direction. And may I decrease and may your ever-loving power increase. Bless all the listeners and all the doers, whether live in the chat rooms or in the archives, we ask continued blessings. And I shout out Miss Rita Nichols to you tonight, dear Father, and bless her heart as she earnestly comes to you seeking for answers and directions, dear Father. You said, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be open. And we believe in your word from the beginning to the end, and we give you all the praise for all of your peace and your love and direction. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, hello again out there. And you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can always leave a message here at the blog talk, and I'd be more than happy to get back in touch with you. As you know, we send out any biblical literature that would help you on your walk in any way that we can, whether it's just praying with you or if it's praying for a church home in your area, whatever the needs may be, may you pray. And if God leads you towards this ministry, for those opportunities in your life, we say welcome, welcome one and all. You know, becoming the person that God designed you to be, it isn't complicated, or it shouldn't be complicated, and sometimes we make it even more complicated than what it really is. You know, in fact, it requires just a simple resolution. You know, self-improvement itself is a very hot topic at this time of the year. You know, we're coming out of the winter months and out of the cold weather that we've been enduring through our winters, and some of us are just now kind of coming out, and some of us, like here, have been into our warm weather for a little while now. But whether we're just beginning into our spring or we've already been there for a month or two, we are remembering that it's a big time for self-improvement. You see it on the TV and on the radio. It's just those times to get you out and look at yourself and see what you've done all winter long, and let's do a little self-improvement and get yourself ready for the sandals and for the spring wear as it comes around. And, you know, so many folks equate getting themselves together differently. The term means different things to different people. Some equate it with just being getting themselves healthier or maybe getting a better paying job. And then some even perhaps maybe look at getting themselves maybe prepared for a college degree, or so many different things that we can equate it with. But for Christians, the goal, of course, is always to become more like Christ. You know, though oftentimes we may go about it in the wrong manner, but the goal is to become more like Christ. Amen? I hope you can agree. And as scriptures memorization or maybe Bible study classes is what we're using to become more like Christ. Or I see one of the young ladies at work, she's doing the scripture memorization, and they have so many scriptures they need to memorize by a certain time. And, you know, they need, like you said, we go to Bible study classes or serving others. All of these are wonderful ways to grow in our faith, as we've been speaking about our faith. But if we want to truly improve ourselves, we should turn to the Holy Spirit. If we want to truly improve ourselves, we need to turn to our director, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence is essential. I think we all will agree. It's essential for our inner transformation, amen, and we'll never develop godly characters and behavior apart from him. It's not something that we can do apart from him. So this old flesh of ours is predisposed towards selfishness and towards sin. And only as we become to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit will he begin to express the life of Christ through us. So instead of embarking on your own self-improvement plan today, I come to ask you, why not work on discovering who God created you to be? You know, you can be confident that the Spirit will come alongside to help in your transformation. So why not discover who it is that God has planned for you to be? He has created you to be, and what? What is that? Who is that? So I want you to remember tonight that he will not force you to change. Very important. He will not force you to change. He's a loving God. But he will not force you to change. The only way that you will experience your full potential in Christ is by cooperating with him. It's by cooperating with him. You know, we have to let the Spirit lead. Let's just talk a little bit about that. You know, if you want to become everything that God has designed you to be, the place to begin is self-denial. It runs counter to everything the world tells us. But we are not meant to rule ourselves. That's why Jesus said, whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. We are not
meant to rule ourselves. Amen. And then he goes on to say that whoever loses his life will preserve it. That's Luke 17:33. Amen. Part of our scripture, go on down through what we've got to today on our scripture. You know, whoever loses his life will preserve it. And whoever seek to keep his life will lose it. And we see so often we are trying so hard to rule ourselves, to set the things that what we think is right, to follow in a pathway that we try to establish for ourselves. And it looks like it's good. And we've got a lot of people that's doing the same thing, so it must be good. And I see them prospering in different worldly ways, so this must be the way. But we are not meant to rule ourselves. So, again, one of the first things that we are to do is if we want to see and follow the pattern that God has designed us to be, it begins with self-denial. You know, it's impossible to be a disciple of Christ and still be in charge. I'll say that one more time. It is impossible to be a child of God, a disciple of God, let's change that, a disciple of God, and still be in charge. You see, our full potential is discovered only when we let the Spirit have complete control of our life. 99.5 will do, but when we let the Spirit have complete control our lives. You see, there's a battle going on inside every Christian. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into obedience to God. But our flesh is who we're battling against, the Spirit and the flesh. So if the Spirit wants to lead us into obedience to God, can you imagine the opposite? Our flesh desires its own way. Galatians 5:17 tells us that. You see, my sisters and brothers, Satan tries to convince us that freedom is achieved by doing whatever we want. I'm grown. I do whatever I want. I don't need your opinion. I make my own money. I do whatever I want. If that's the case, then everyone who is grown would never run into any obstacles. Everyone who makes their own money will not run into any obstacles. And we know that's not true. So let's reevaluate. It tells us again. The question to us that we should be bringing up as Satan tries to convince us that freedom is achieved by what? Doing whatever we want. We have to look at reality because we understand that in reality, that ends up in bondage when we are doing whatever we want. That ends up in bondage for us. But God promises that if we walk by the Spirit, letting him lead the way, that we won't carry out the desires of the flesh that threatens to enslave us. You know, the question is, who's going to be in control of your life? Is it going to be you? You said, I've been used and abused and people have done me wrong all of my life. I'm going to be in control of my life. I can't let anyone else do anything for me. I can't let go of this control. I'm going to be in control of my life. That is the question that I asked of you today. Maybe you think that you are allowing the Holy Spirit, but I want you to do a self-examination and see who's really ruling you. Who is in control of your life? You are God. You have to make the decision to just let the Lord lead. Can everyone say that with me right now? Let the Lord lead. And then consistently surrender authority over your life to him. Just dedicate your life to him every day. I dedicate my life back to you. I dedicate my decisions that I make today over to you. You have to consistently surrender your authority over your life to him. you know, in time you notice that his power in you increasing when you start to dedicate the authority back over to him. You see his power increasing in you, and you see your flesh becoming less dominant as you dedicate your life back over to him. You know, instead of insisting on your rights, you listen to his test will. I'm not talking about a life of imperfection. You know, we're never going to reach perfection here. So I'm not talking about a life of perfection, but one that is bent towards obedience is what we're speaking about. Not a life of perfection, but one that is leaning towards obedience. And though we all stumble at times, when we are filled with the Spirit, we're quick to confess. When we are filled with the Spirit, we're quick to turn away from our sins. And when we confess and turn away from our sins, we're quick to reclaim the promise of his fullness. That's when we can reclaim the promise of his fullness. So we stumble. We fall down. Get back up. Don't stay there and waddle in your own pity. Get back up. Confess your sins. Turn away from that wrongdoing and reclaim the promise of his fullness in your life. See, we have to get to a point of where we rely on the Holy Spirit. And when you get up in the morning, do you think about the Holy Spirit before you set about your day's routine? Or are you still just jumping up and just going about? Hopefully, if you have spent any time with our ministry, you are not one to just jump up and head on your way. You are stopping and you're dedicating your life back to the Lord. When you get up in the morning, you think about that. Do you think about the Holy Spirit before you set off for your day's routine? Do you make a conscious choice to depend upon him today? Hallelujah. A conscious choice to depend upon him to equip you for whatever awaits you in your day. That he's going to equip me for it. I'm not just running out here in a battle. He has equipped me for it. I have my armor on. I have my heart set right. I have my mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. See, the reason that many of us as Christians feel defeated is because you don't understand what the Spirit has come to do in you and through you. So instead of relying on him, many times you're trying to live the Christian life in your own spirit, in your own strength. You know, however, a self-reliancy is a guarantee of a fruitless life. When you're trying to live your Christian life in your own strength, making up your own rules, relying on yourself for your understanding, you look around you. You're guaranteeing yourself and all of those that are around you to have a fruitless life. You may continue to multiply by having more kids, but what are you really producing? What fruit are you really producing? Remember, what the Lord desires is a display of spirit-produced fruit. Let's say that again. What the Lord desires out of your life is a display of spirit-produced fruit, not self-sufficient achievement. No, no, no. You see, human beings are capable of amazing accomplishment. Yes, we are. We can preach sermons. We can teach Sunday school. We can feed the poor. We can minister to the hurting in our own strength. These things we can do. In fact, entire churches can function without any help from the Spirit. Function. But that's not what God wants. Don't get impressed. That is not what God wants. The work he has for us is supernatural, and it requires a corresponding power to accomplish it. None of us is adequate for the task. Apart from having the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and as he works through us, that's what makes us adequate for the task. Without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, none of us is adequate for this task, for the supernatural task, the power. We must have the Holy Spirit. This was true even of Christ's disciples. Until the Spirit came into them at Pentecost, they weren't ready for the job of spreading the gospel. So think of them for a moment that this owes to those who are serving in the ministry. We all need the Spirit's power for every aspect of our lives. Don't get caught up in that lie. Only the preachers and the ones that are in ministries are needing this. We all need the Spirit's power for every aspect of our lives, big or small. And anyone can live a normal life. But Jesus calls us to live supernaturally, hallelujah, to live supernaturally in such a way that we display his character in our life, in our everyday living, in everything that we do. We should be displaying his character, divine empowerment. How are you going to become a godly parent? Without divine empowerment, how are you going to become a godly partner? Forgive someone who has hurt you deeply. Forgive them today. And endure suffering without bitterness. How are you going to endure the sufferings of this life and without getting bitter if you don't have divine empowerment? How are you going to forgive them that has hurt you so deeply if you don't have divine empowerment? How are you going to model the Christ-like character in the workplace? How would that happen? Or how would you demonstrate patience and kindness to all the cantankerous people that you may come about today? Amen? How would you demonstrate that power? You can't. The fruit of the Spirit isn't pumped out with self-effort. It's not something that comes from self-effort. See, all of our striving, all of our struggling to become better Christians will never, ever produce a godly life. The only way to obtain that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is your host, Minister Von Dillon. You can get more information about this subject and many more by going into the archives. Please rate the show, or you can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Let's continue, shall we? You know, we got to learn to use your spiritual gifts. It's just not something that you have. Your spiritual gifts. You know, part of discovering your full potential in Christ is finding out what God has planned for you to accomplish. You got to know what your goals are. What are you setting out to do? Find out what God has planned for you to accomplish. Maybe different from what your spouse's accomplishments are to be, or from your sister or your brothers. We're all called to serve him in everything. But he's also given each of us a unique calling. I can reach someone that you may cannot reach, and vice versa. Flip that thing over. You can reach someone that I cannot reach. You know, it's really something when you hear different preachers or teachers trying to critique each other. What it is that God has given you is not supposed to match up to everyone else. We're all called to serve him in everything that we do. But he's also given each and every one of us a unique calling to reach a group that he has for you. So you don't want to spend your entire life living as you see fit. You hear that all the time. And then only to arrive at the end of your circle, to arrive in heaven and discover that you've missed what God had in mind. You've missed the whole picture, the whole plan that God had in mind by living the way that you see fit. That's why it's so important to walk in the Spirit every day of your life. Every day of your life, walking in the Spirit. He's the one who guides you into your calling. He's the one who will give you that testimony, that test that you're going through now. You hear everybody else testifying about different obstacles that they have got over and they pushed out of the way and moved around and they never could do it on their own. They didn't ever think when they're in the midst of that battle that, whoa, this will turn out like it has. They continue to rely on the Holy Spirit. And then he, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into your calling, will guide you through your obstacles to get to where it is that you need to be. And since the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the Lord created each of us to accomplish, he'll give us corresponding spiritual gifts. These are divinely bestowed abilities that enable us to fulfill God's unique will for our life. You know, although our spiritual gifts carry the full potential for effectiveness, they don't usually come to us completely developed, let's just say. For instance, God may give you the gift of teaching, but without diligently study of scriptures, your effectiveness will be limited. Amen? You ever see somebody, you can see a glimpse of their gift, but it's because they don't polish it. It's because they don't give time to the gift that it never becomes effective enough to make a difference. Amen? They keep this as limited. And God is not in a box and he doesn't have a limit for them. If you have the gift of mercy, it may take time to learn how to confront the different people he brings into your life. But don't give up too quickly. Spiritual gifts develop over time. And we become more successful as we practice them. Just with anything else. With anything else. We encourage each other and say, well, keep on trying to ride that bike, son. You're going to get better at it. You'll get the hang of it. It's the same with your gifts. Learning to use your spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts develop over time. You become more successful the more you practice with them. And you know, you have so much potential in God's eyes. But there's one more area that could prevent you from experiencing his best. And as we close tonight, let's speak of that other area that may keep you from experiencing his best. If you're holding on to anything the Lord doesn't want you to have, you are compromising your purity and you're quenching his spirit. You must pursue purity. I know it feels right to just shack up with each other. I know it feels right to go to the altar with he or she that is not who God has for you. I know it feels right at the moment to eat of that forbidden fruit, even though everyone around you is trying to bring it to your eyes and show you what you can't see or what you are refusing to see, because it feels good right now for the moment. You're in the midst of that sin, and it feels good. And you, quite frankly, don't want to be without it. You don't want to let her go. You don't want to think about living without him. You don't want to push harder for that promotion. You don't want to spend more time with the ones that are dedicated before you. You want to select who it is that you spend your time with. It. You want to select who it is that you pray for. You want to select who it is that you pray with. You don't want to go where he's asked you to go. And quite frankly, you don't want to be led in those directions because it may take you to Nineveh. And you may have other plans of your own because you're living life the way you see fit. And you're not going to hear what anyone else has to say. So you're quenching the spirit if you're holding on to anything that the Lord doesn't want you to have. You're compromising your purity. It could be an outright sin, or it could be something that stands between you and complete obedience to Christ. You know, you're talking a good talk, but you don't have your walk all together yet. Because to walk that walk, you would have to do something a little different, let go of something. You'd have to make some changes in your life. You know the changes need to be made, but something inside of you makes you listen to the voice to say, it's going to work itself out. It's going to work itself, it'll work itself out, and things will get better, and it's not always bad like this. Sometimes we have a glimpse of happiness. We were happy for 3 days there in a row. Everything went good here for a moment. God may be pushing you to move, to get out of that situation, on your job, in your home, wherever. It may even be to leave that where the place that you're worshiping. You may feel that you can't live without the thing that's distracting you from serving the Lord. You may feel that you don't want to live without that thing that is distracting you from the Lord. But that's just Satan's lie. That's just his lie. To keep you bound. To keep a strong hold over you. And if he's successful in doing it in your life, he's going to triple the power in those that are around you, in your seed. Are you hearing me tonight, my sisters and brothers? His temptation always results in bondage. I know you're looking for some happy ending to this story, the way that you're living your life, the way that you see fit. You're looking for some happy ending, even if it means you've got to turn your back on your family. You're looking for some happy ending. But I come to remind you that Satan's temptations always result in bondage. You're never going to find freedom through there. You're going the wrong road. You're taking the wrong road. You go opening up the wrong doors. You will never find freedom there. It's only bondage. That temporary high that you're feeling, it'll never work. It's only temporal. That's why letting go is such a struggle. Because the enemy knows that you'll never find freedom. But he just dangles in front of you. He gives you a moment or two of happiness to the point that you look over the other 99% of discomfort that you're living in, and you're holding on to that 1% of happiness. It's false. It's not real. But it's false evidence appearing to be real. So you're living in fear. That's why that struggle is so hard to let go of. Whatever you're clutching can never match the value of what Christ can do in a surrendered life. It will never match the value of what Christ has for you just once you surrender. He's waiting for you to let go. He's waiting for you to just let go and fully submit to him. And if you just lay down at his feet, he'll replace it with a life of victorious power. He'll replace all of that that you're looking for, all of the things that you need to let go. If you just let go of it, he will replace it with freedom that you've been searching for. And you will become the person that he has created you to be if you would just let go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we come to the close tonight, I ask, do you really know God? Not know of him, but do you really know God? You know, this year, why not just make it up in your mind that you're going to carry a 100% guarantee of success? Now is the time to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Now is the time to receive the indwelling presence of his Spirit and become a new creature in Christ. Now is the time. You know not the day or the hour that he's going to come by, but he's returning. If you died today, would you be, are you 100% sure that you would wake up in the eternity of Jesus Christ, in his comfort, in his love for eternity? I come to tell you that he died on the cross for you. And since he died on the cross for all your sins, you have full forgiveness and can begin to live in a newness of life. You can use the following prayer. You can use your own words, but I offer you this time, this opportunity to just repeat the words after me. Open up your heart and believe them. Lord Jesus, I believe you are truly the Son of God. I confess that I have sinned against you in thought, words, and deeds. Please forgive all my wrongdoings and let me live in relationship with you from now on. I receive you as my personal Savior, accepting on my behalf the work you accomplished once and for all on the cross. I want to thank you for saving me. Help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You know, I will gladly send you any free literature that will help you on your biblical walk. Just contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Or, again, you can leave a message here at the Blog Talk Ministry. Any way that you contact me, I'll be more than happy to be there for you. God is waiting on you. There's so much wisdom, so much that the Holy Spirit is trying to direct you towards. Your self-improvement starts with getting in tune with what it is that God wants you to accomplish. Don't let another moment pass. Don't let another day pass by without you surrendering to the Holy Spirit, asking God to follow through and test. God, I'm testing you. This is your word. I'm standing on this word. I'm believing on this word. See me through. See me through. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast. Time flies when you're having fun. Hallelujah for all that you are and all that you've done.